Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, an entrepreneurial support organization and coworking community with locations in Valley Junction and downtown Des Moines. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Work better. Work together.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. In December of 1978, a young man from Iran arrived in Jackson, Mississippi. He came to the United States to go to college, but also to escape the extremism that was transforming his country. Kamyar and Cheyenne never returned to Iran and has made his home in Cedar Falls, where he's the director for the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. We asked him to reflect back on the 40 years he spent in the United States, on his immigrant experience with us. Kamyar, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
And let's go back in time to 1978. So you were, what, 19 years old?
I was 19.
And you were pursuing a college education in Iran, but that had turned out to be really difficult. What was going on that made it so hard?
It was a kind of beginning of a revolution against the Shah back then. And so a lot of demonstrations in colleges. And so I went to college for 3 semesters, but every one of them was kind of canceled or just nothing happened. And so at that time, I thought I wanted to kind of learn English, and I had a relative in the U.S. who would help me kind of start, at a university. So that's where I decided to come to the U.S.
All right. So you came to pursue an education. How did you wind up in Mississippi?
So that's a funny thing. You would go there. There were these offices that were set up where they would help you apply to either a university or a place of English as a second language. And so I went to one of those places, took my documents, and then they would translate, fill out the form and everything. And then if you got accepted, there's this form that then you take to the U.S. Embassy to get visa. So when I went to apply, he said, well, I have a couple of places. One is Boston. The other one is Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Which one do you want to go? I said, oh, well, how about Hattiesburg, Mississippi?
Just like that, totally random.
In a way, I mean, the other one sounded like smaller town, which is a town, small town. I grew up, Boston seemed like a big place. And so totally random.
So what was that like to move to Hattiesburg, Mississippi? I mean, was that a lot of culture shock?
Well, I didn't know much English, right? Everything was new, right? You accept what the situation you're in, and you're saying, oh, this is great. I'm going to learn English. And no, I mean, I just loved it. To me, everybody now, people say, well, did people have a Southern accent? You're saying, oh, now I see. Yes.
They all sounded different to me.
It was all, amazing,
You were a long way from home and you didn't go back.
No, I never really, this last 40 years, because the political...
So 40 years, you've never returned to where you came from.
I mean, the thing is, I grew up here the last 40 years, right? The last 25 years in Iowa. So it's like home is here, and all, a lot of my connections, and I grew up, emotionally and intellectually here. The main reason I haven't gone back, I kind of never felt safe to go back and be able to come back. So I never even thought of going there.
Do you still have family in Iran?
Oh, yeah. My brother lives there, and all kind of extended family on dad's side and mom's side are all there. But both of my parents have passed away.
You came here to get an education, but after going to college, you decided that you wanted to stay. How difficult was that for you to be able to stay in the United States?
I thought about, what do I, how do I stay, right? And so there are, in my case, at that time, I was working at Ohio State University as an agricultural engineer, and I was doing my postdoctoral work there. And they helped me kind of get my permanent residency through, there is a category called outstanding scholar. So where you, they would say, wow, this guy is, you know, has done so many interesting work. We really want him here working at Ohio State. And I, even though at that time I was very young, had just graduated, really done my PhD work, I didn't think I was really doing anything. So they said, well, let's just do it anyway. And it worked. It, wow. It went through. I was relieved because I had already, I was kind of at the tail end of all the various ways I could stay in the U.S. So, anyway.
Well, and let's take a look at the time period that we're talking about as well, because you came in 1978. And of course, not only were things very politically precarious mm-hmm. in Iran, but the relationship between Iran and the United States.
Had gone, yeah, that's right. Has not. Actually, it's another kind of one of the things that I've been thinking about is over the last 40 years, there have been so many situations where kind of being from Iran was like a liability, right? There was yeah. this hostage crisis. There was this Iranian arms deal scandal, and then there was the axis of evil. Yeah, there was just all these, and now the nuclear thing. But all along, you know, I've only experienced support from people I knew and people in my communities, you know, wherever I was.
Wow. Thinking about the hostage crisis during the Carter administration, did you talk to people that you worked with and fellow students or fellow people at the university about what was going on?
Yeah, I mean, people would ask, you know, and I really didn't know that much. You know, I was like fresh, you know, I was just like 20, 21, you know, it's like I wasn't at that time all that clued in to, well, what had gone on. And I mean, and really people here, like people everywhere, they know that ordinary people aren't kind of didn't do all this, right? So there's
people weren't trying to hold you responsible.
Exactly. So that hasn't really wasn't never.
It's interesting that you have that perspective, though, because I mean, we certainly have seen throughout history in the United States mm-hmm. when things get tense that sometimes people responsible. And, you know, I mean, goodness, after 9/11, we saw Sikhs being held responsible for terrorist attacks.
Totally.
Because they wore turbans.
One of the ways, you know, the humor, kind of bringing some humor to this, one of the ways that I've always tried to kind of bring the humanity of, you know, and the cultural traditions of just like the way people connect to each other to the scene. And one of those ways is humor, you know. And so during the hostage situation, given all the negative publicity and everything, there was like a neighborhood parade. This is in Columbus, Ohio. And I just joined the parade, you know, just like as myself.
Just walked in,
and I had a sign which said, "Have a real arms deal with an Iranian. Give me a hug."
And did people come and hug
and
you?
Hundreds. I mean, I'm not kidding. I mean, it's like totally people would just get up from the side of the street, you know, just come towards me, which kind of, again, it's like, yes, people understand, you know, people understand.
Wow. Interesting. Well, you, of course, decided to stay in the United States, decided to build a life in the United States. You got married. Where is your wife from?
My wife is from Kansas, and I had met her dad first. So I had invited him to Ohio State to give a talk, and then I met her, and she's a prairie ecologist and is involved heavily in prairie restoration, and so that has been just wonderful.
So what brought the two of you to Iowa?
She got a job. She applied. I was at that time at Ohio State, and she was doing postdoc in Arizona. And she was the one who was applying for like tenure track positions. And so she got a job at the University of Northern Iowa as a biology professor. And so my joke has been, you know, keep your job so that I continue the lifestyle I've become accustomed to.
Were Was that ever difficult for you, marrying an American woman, coming from such a different background, crossing those cultures?
Yeah, not really. You know, I mean, by that time, I was in the U.S. for, you know, maybe another 15, 20 years, and 15 probably. And yeah, we got married 25 years ago, and not really. You know, that's the thing. It's there may be personality differences between people within a culture, right? So it's like totally was never an issue, really. I mean, there were some, I mean, anything would be minor language things, you know. It's like I said something that would not, you know, say, what? That doesn't, just like things that are like saying, doing the dishes like downstairs, or like these little language things that, you know, I don't maybe communicate very well. But no, that's not, that has never been.
It's a good excuse for not doing the
that's
dishes,
right.
Actually.
Exactly.
So you have two daughters.
That's right.
And raising American children. I mean, have you made an effort to keep some of your Iranian traditions alive within the family?
Not really. I would say not much. Not the language, you know, it hasn't been, you know, I just was never, I guess I kind of, when I came to the U.S. from early on, I thought, well, I'm here, you know, this is my home, you know, and I'm going to be, you know, kind of blend in as much as I could
and embrace it,
you know, never kind of try to. I mean, there are things, obviously, the music, you know, I still listen to traditional music of Iran, just as I listen to traditional music of many parts of this country. And yeah, there's a few kind of, you know, New Year celebration, which is kind of start of the spring, is the Iranian New Year, you know, the solar calendar and things like that.
So you celebrate that with your girls?
Yeah, when we can. People are busy doing other things.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah. As you said, you embraced the culture, you embraced your new life, and in some ways, you had to because of the political situation back home in Iran. But you also are so deeply involved in your community and in the United States, your commitment to the environment. You've also run for local office.
Yeah.
So do you feel like coming from Iran and seeing the dysfunction of the government there has made you want to be more involved in government here?
Totally. I mean, there's so many. I would say, I can speak for myself, but I would say most immigrants who are here have come from places where there is not functioning government, there is violence, there's tragedies that people have really escaped from. And so when I came to the U.S., things that are still very fresh in my mind, I appreciate them every day, is, you know, a functioning local government, a functioning community, a functioning school system, a library, all, you know, the police and fire, all these things that make a community work. Postal service, that's another, the one that, like, for me was, like, amazing. Saying, wow, it's just so reliable, you know. And and so that is, I would say, thing, you know, that's the, and of course, freedom of speech, you know, freedom of kind of participate in community life and improve things. These are like, this is like, I am so grateful for these every day. And so, yes, coming to the U.S. and being here, it inspires me, you know, saying, okay, this is my community. I'm going to participate in it. I couldn't have if I was in Iran, you know. And so that motivates me. Yeah, totally, totally. It means a lot to me.
When you observe, listen, and participate in the debate about immigration in the United States today, as someone who did immigrate to the United States, and of course now you've been here for two-thirds of your life.
Yes, exactly.
But what do you want people to know from your perspective? What do you think people are missing in that debate?
Well, First of all, I have a joke about immigration. So I have a really I have a proposal about a real tough immigration policy, which is everyone who came here after 1492 goes out on their ear.
We are a nation of immigrants.
That's right. Totally, totally. I would say maybe I guess the thing that astonishes me as an immigrant is the kind of a story that the natives have been told over the last few decades that government is bad, that this idea that we self-govern and to serve ourselves as a nation and organizing, that there's something wrong here, you see. And everybody says, well, government is bad, regulations are bad, everything is bad. It's just like, what? Yeah, as an immigrant, it's like, no, this is the best thing. Look at all the institutions that make our daily lives possible is due to self-governance. That's like the foundational idea. I would say that's what I think is missing. Somehow a generation or two, like somehow we like didn't pass the baton. It's like, oh, did you know this? Like this is non-negotiable. You know, it's like we self-govern. There's this democratic process, and it's not, we can't give up these things. You know, whether it's healthcare or public libraries, public schools. So I would say this is like fundamental, and I think that's one thing that maybe as immigrants we're like, but that's very important to us, right? And it should be right for all of us. That so that's one thing that again I keep thinking.
You don't take it for granted.
Exactly, we can't take that for granted, and those of us who are relatively new. We appreciate it every day, and it means a lot.
And after 40 years, do you still feel relatively new?
Well, that, you know, that I do. I really do. So I've always thought about this question of, well, after how many years are you not an immigrant? You know, it's like, okay, is my daughter like an immigrant? You know, like how does she view all of this? Or, you know, at what point, you know, it's like, let's say your family, right? Mm-hmm. You know, let's say where did they immigrate from?
Germany.
Know? Okay, so
three generations
exactly,
ago,
right? So it's like we're all immigrants, and so in that sense, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Kamyar, I'm glad you came here 40 years ago, and thank you so much for talking with me today.
Glad to be here. Glad to be with you. Thank you so much.
Kamyar Anshayan is the director for the Center for Energy and Environmental Education at the University of Northern Iowa. He came to the United States 40 years ago from Iran. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.